Well, first of all, on behalf of my wife, Deborah, and my family, a very Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you for choosing to come out tonight and spending at least the first part of your Christmas Eve in worshiping God and hearing that favorite story over and over again. And it's my honor and privilege to be able to bring a Christmas message to you tonight, and I trust that God, by His Spirit, will enable us to receive it, and it might transform us. If you follow any kind of social media or read certain types of publications, you will probably hear and know the fact that some people think there's a war on Christmas. You may not have heard that phrase before, but it's a common phrase on some media sites. There's a war on Christmas. Some businesses and some educational institutions and such like have forbid their staff from saying Merry Christmas. And in fact, the lesser greeting of Happy Holidays or season's greeting are okay, but they may not say Merry Christmas. In fact, my favorite of all coffee shops in the world was under great assault recently by particularly Christians when Starbucks removed the Christmas emblem from their coffee cups. And although you may have stopped drinking Starbucks, that hasn't bothered me in a bit because the coffee's still very good. But the trend is there in society, in secular society, that our culture does not want to try to bring any kind of Christian religious connotation to the season. But if Christians really want to be biblical, if Christians really want to follow the scriptural example, then even Merry Christmas might not be the most appropriate greeting. Allow me to read some verses from the Bible, and you see if you can find what I think might be a more appropriate greeting than season's greeting or Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. The first account is from Matthew chapter 1, where the angels came to Joseph. And we read in the 20th verse, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit." In Luke chapter 1, verse 13, we read, "But the angel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And of course, when the angel appeared to Mary, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." We've already heard about the shepherds, and the announcement that came to the shepherds was from the angel, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." At least four times in the gospel accounts, the Christmas greeting that was common to all these events was, "Fear not." And perhaps if we're going to be biblical Christians following the scripture, the best Christmas greeting is, "Fear not." Just this week, as I was watching an event on CBC News, the CBC journalist by the name of Neil MacDonald, a very good last name, by the way, Neil MacDonald did a piece in review of 2015. And he said that 2015 was the year of fear. A year of fear. He pointed to our fear of ISIS, which is very real. He pointed to the politicians in our country who amplified the fear of ISIS in our media and in our country. He reminded us of the fact that hundreds of thousands of refugees are fleeing Syria and coming to countries in Europe and now into Canada, And the initial response of most Westerners was fear. Who's coming into our country? What are they like? What will they do? In November, we watched with stunned silence as Paris went through its second event in this year of fear. Terror attacking ordinary citizens. MacDonald, in his piece on the CBC, quoted the New York Times, which polled its readers, and 75% of its readers said that they live every day in everything they do with some sense of apprehension. And so as he closed his news piece, he said, 2015 is the year of fear. It is a dark year. And of course, on that backdrop, as we have just lived through 12 months of so-called fear, the Christmas greeting that is most prominent in the Bible is, do not fear. Do not fear. Now, I want to tell you today that the Bible is not a book that was written by some modern celebrity guru on positive thinking. The Bible affirms the fact that the days that we live in these days, are days of terror and fear. The fact that the Bible teaches us through the Christmas events, do not fear, is no occasion to deny what is happening around us. The Bible approaches topics differently than human beings do. When the Bible says do not fear, the authors are not intending us to think that we are to live in blind, idealistic unreality. There's certainly a lot of legitimate fear that we as human beings have witnessed around us. An example of what I'm talking about is the Apostle Paul, when he wrote in the book of Romans in chapter 8, he made this statement. He said, if God is for us, who can be against us? The idea is that there are people against us. But when you understand God is for you, it diminishes the impact of those who are against you. You understand what I mean? Of course you don't. So let me give you a better illustration. If you go to work, when you go back to work with a headache and you drop an anvil on your toe, your headache won't seem quite as bad, will it? Ah, now you get it. Indeed, there are people against us all the time, but if God is for us, it's almost as if no one is against us. And indeed, there is fear in our society, in our nation. There is indeed fear around the world. There is an apprehension everywhere you travel. But when you hear the words of God's word, do not fear, it doesn't deny the problem. It sets your sights on a greater issue. I believe that Jesus Christ came to earth to take the bite out of fear. And there are three mammoth ways in which he does that. For instance, everyone here tonight has a fear of suffering. Everyone here has a fear of going into a situation where you will suffer great pain. Suffering is hard. Pain is painful. You may be here tonight and you're suffering and you're going through painful circumstances or events in your life. But Jesus Christ came to take the bite out of that pain and out of that suffering. After Jesus Christ came to earth and was born as a baby and he lived a perfect life, before he was to go to the cross, he said these familiar words to his disciples. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you." The Bible gives us the understanding that Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect life and he died and he rose again and he ascended back to heaven to prepare a place for his disciples. And if you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are his disciple tonight. So magnificent is this place that Jesus is preparing. So glorious and wonderful that this place that Jesus is preparing for His people, that the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." When the Apostle Paul looked at the suffering that was going on in the world, his eyes went to a better place, a glorious place, a place where Jesus was preparing. And in comparison to the glory of that place and the present suffering, he called this suffering light and momentary. My point is that where there is suffering in the world, but where there is faith in Jesus Christ, even that suffering can be viewed as light and momentary compared to the eternal heavenly glories that Jesus Christ has for His people. And this takes the bite out of fear. The second area that the Bible addresses regarding fear is the fear that we all have for the consequence of our sin. Each one of us knows that in the depths of our heart, that the things we have done wrong will someday be accounted for before a holy God. If I was addressing a wider audience, I would say, just as I say tonight, that there is a deep conviction within each individual, even those who deny the existence of God. They know somewhere deep in their soul that they must give an account for the things that they're doing to somebody. And we know that somebody is God. The Bible's very clear. The writer to the Hebrews said, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment." And that judgment causes a fear to occur in every single human being. We know that God has to be just and fair. He wouldn't be God. And just like a child who's done wrong, who comes home, knows in their heart that their parents are going to have to deal with that, we know in our hearts that our sin must be dealt with before a holy judge. And He will deal with us fairly, and He will deal with us righteously, and that scares us. But again, Jesus Christ takes the sting out of judgment. For He says in the Gospel of John, "God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." You see, through the life of Jesus Christ and through His provision, mankind can face judgment with assurance and with total liberty, knowing that Jesus Christ paid the full and complete price for those who put their trust in Him. In Christ, the fear of suffering is dismissed. In Christ, the fear of judgment is dismissed. And lastly, the worst fear of all is death. Nobody who is healthy wants to die. We all have a fear of death of some degree. Death will likely come to every single person here tonight. If Jesus does not return before you and I die, we will die. There is no escaping it. You may live a long life, but even at the end of that long life, you will die. The one thing that brings commonality to each one of us here tonight is we're all going to die. But the Apostle Paul again writes, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through" who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he will live." So you see, truly as Christians, we can face the greatest fears of all. Fears of torment and suffering and pain. Fears of judgment and fear of death. All that can be faced if you have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Suffering has hope. Judgment has no condemnation. Death has no sting. There's a Christmas carol that we sing, "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." One of the stanzas goes this way, "Fear not then," said the angel, "let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bright, to free all those who trust in Him from Satan's power and might. I surely believe that the best Christmas greeting of all is, "Fear not." I wonder what would happen tonight if we left here and the people that we met, instead of saying "Happy Holidays" or "Season's Greetings" or even "Merry Christmas," I wonder what kind of response you would get if you said, "Fear not, fear not." Does that Christmas greeting come from an internal sense of faith that because of your trust in Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, who lived a perfect life, who died for sinners, who rose from the dead and is reigning today in heaven, that faith in Him emboldens and gives courage to those who even face the most difficult situations, and they can say with confidence, "Fear not." So to you, my church, and to many of you who are visiting tonight, which I thank you for coming, your pastor's Christmas greeting is, "Fear not." You live in times when the economy is uncertain. You live in times where flying to foreign countries is dangerous. You live in times where there is terror everywhere. And the biblical response to all that is, "Fear not. Christ has prepared a better place for you. He has paid for all your sins. And there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ." So again, instead of saying "Merry Christmas" tonight, I say, "Fear not. Do not be afraid if you are trusting Christ. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, there is nothing to fear." So I commend to you as families, as you meet together, as you greet one another, perhaps we shouldn't get all upset about whether we say "Season's Greeting" or "Merry Christmas." Perhaps the best greeting of all is, "Fear not. Fear not." Let me pray with you, please. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent your Son to live the kind of life that we could never live, to die a death that we could never die. And for all who have put their trust in Him alone as Savior, we can enjoy the free gift of salvation, which is your righteousness and your forgiveness of sin. We thank you, Father, that you raised your Son from the dead in power and glory, and that He is seated tonight at the right hand of God. He's alive, He's reigning, He's the King, and He's coming back to take all those who have faith alone in Him to be with Him forever in a place that He has prepared, a place without pain and suffering, a place where there's no terror or sin, a place where there is nothing but extraordinary joy. And so we bless you tonight, Father. And I pray your blessing would rest upon everyone here, that your grace would indeed move us into a closer relationship with you. So I ask for your mercies and your love to just fill us tonight as we leave here with this message on our heart, that for those who are in Christ, who have trusted you, there is nothing to fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. We pray these things in the precious and the holy name of Jesus. Amen.